This morning, as we continue this good news series, we're in the continuing in the Gospel of Luke. We're at Luke 15, and Luke 15 contains three stories about things that are lost. And sometimes we see those first two pretty easily, because it talks about the lost coin, it talks about the lost sheep. And then we shift our focus into that third story, the larger story of the three. And instead of talking about something lost, we talk about a prodigal son. But I want us to consider that prodigal son story as the story of one who is lost. And I think many times as Christians, as we gather, especially as we gather to worship God, and we hear people talking about the lost, our first thought, the first thing that comes to mind is someone else. Those that aren't here, those that don't know Jesus, those that are not in relationship with Christ. And that's definitely a way to define the lost when we think of spiritual terms. And I'm hoping I can pull this together. I spent most of the week looking at one word, and then late yesterday I shifted to a different word focus. But I want us to consider both in a certain way. The title this morning is Hope When We're Lost. Because sometimes we look at God's word and we focus it on, well, it's about them. And so we kind of tune out. And if we talk about hope for those who are lost, we think about those that don't know Jesus. And if I know Jesus, I don't have to listen. But I think there are times that we also find ourselves, even when we're in relationship with Jesus, we find ourselves feeling lost. And so that's the direction I originally was going to head. And that acrostic, lost, had to do with sometimes we're lonely. And this idea that loneliness and isolation can make us feel lost. And in the story, this lost son felt that loneliness because of the abandonment of his friends. And all of a sudden, it was just him and the pigs. And when we live life, even as Christians, even as those that are following Jesus, there are times that it just feels like everyone has abandoned us. And we feel all alone. And it brings about a sense of loss in our life that we have a difficulty explaining or even understanding. But also, well, sometimes we feel lost when we're objectified. When people don't really see us, they just see us as another pretty face. Well, I've never had that problem, but they see us for our talent or our skill or our money or whatever it is. They don't see us as a person. We're objectified as something different. The lost son, well, he had friends until his money ran out, and then all of a sudden nobody knew who he was. They really weren't friends with him. They were friends with his money. And sometimes we feel lost when the people around us don't really see us. They see us as a means of getting something they want. We become objectified. And not being seen as a person can make us feel lost. Probably the one that we think of the most, or we try not to think of the most, is sometimes we feel lost when we're sinful. We've created that separation between us and God, and we've created separation between us and others. You see, sin is that great separator and will make us feel lost every time. It separates us from God, but it also separates us from one another, because what if they notice? And so we sin and we hide. You find examples of that throughout Scripture, but this lost son had recognized his sin against God and his sin against his father, and he felt that there was no way home. And so when we have sin enter our life, when we stumble, when temptation overtakes us, we experience a sense of being lost. But I think even if we don't deal often with the loneliness, the feelings of being seen objectively or with sin, There are times that we feel lost simply because we're tired. Weariness has a way of isolating it. It has a way of making us feel all alone. Our weariness can affect us at every level of our being. It brings about a feeling of being lost. This lost son was weary beyond belief. And he just wanted to survive. And I suspect there are people here this morning, people that are listening and watching online, that are believers in Jesus that feel lost. There's something going on in your life. There's some sense of loneliness, of being objectified, of sin, of just being tired, that has you coming together feeling lost. No one understands. No one ever can. No one ever will. And the enemy tries to plant those thoughts into our minds so that we don't gather together, so that we don't encourage one another, so that we don't do the things that we ought to be doing. But the main focus that I want us to look at, even though I had spent most of the week thinking about this acrostic of lost, is that whether we're lost in a state of separation from God or we're simply lost in the overwhelming nature of life, it is God's desire to use His Word, His Spirit, and one another to bring us to a place of hope. And so rather than focus too much on being lost, I want us to focus this morning on the hope that is ours when we are lost. I want to look just a short section of this story of the lost son and see how it applies to us. Whatever it is, God has an answer. And I have to tell you, it's been a great time. Last week I was on vacation with my family, some beautiful scenery. But surrounding that were attacks of the enemy that kind of leave me feeling lost. And so it's always fun when I experience life in a way that God brings me to a message that I need to hear. And then He says, share it. And when we experience those feelings of being lost, we recognize that there's hope when we're lost because there's healing when we're lost. My favorite line out of the story of the lost son is it says in Luke chapter 15, verse 17, when he came to his senses. And I look at that and I think of the healing that's available when I come to my senses. When I recognize God for who He is. When I recognize where I'm at and why I'm there. I've said this before, and several help organizations like AA and Narcotics Anonymous and those will tell you that the first step to getting help is to admit that you have a problem. And the first step in finding hope when we're lost is to admit that we need to be healed. And that healing comes when we recognize that outside of Jesus Christ, we're wandering. There's a reason we feel lost is because our director is not leading. You line up small children especially, and they love to play this game, follow the leader. Well, sometimes if they get to be the leader, they love to play the game. If they're back in the line, they're not always loving the game quite so much. And many times we don't outgrow that. We love the game if we get to be the leader. We don't love the game so much if God gets to be the leader. Because, well, we have our ideas, we have our thoughts, we have our ways of doing things. It's great for God to give some input and to give some insight and to give some hints, but I still want to be in charge. And we find hope for the lost, and we find hope when we're lost, when we find that healing of admitting God's in charge, and I'm not. Years ago, David and I were in Ireland on a prayer journey, and one of the participants in this prayer journey would consistently say throughout the time, if I was in charge, that would bother me, but I'm not in charge. And I thought it was this great statement, because we were in a foreign country, things did not always go the way we thought they should have gone, but she took up on the attitude that it wasn't her problem. And there are things that are our fault, that are our problem, that we have to deal with. But many times the things that bring a lostness to our mind are things that are simply us not following the leader. And we find that healing when we submit to God. That was the direction that this lost son took. When he came to his senses, when his mind became healed, he thought about what life was like back home. He thought about what could be his and what had been his. And he began to desire that. Luke 15, verse 17, beginning at verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death?" He recognized in this point and this moment of healing that there was help, that there was a solution, that there was a way out of his despair. All he had to do was turn to his father. Sounds a lot easier than what it is and what it was. He had spent a lot of effort to distance himself from his father. And there are times that we feel lost because we have spent a lot of effort distancing ourselves from God. But the healing for when we're lost comes when we turn and come to our senses and recognize and observe there's a way home. So there's healing when we're lost. There's observation when we're lost. Verse 18, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. There was an observation, there was a recognition, there was an awareness that things were not right, that he was lost, and it was partly, primarily because of his own choices. We find hope when we're lost, when we make that observation that we're the one that wandered away. It's been said by many in many different ways that if you feel distant from God, stop and consider who moved. God's presence is constant. He's not a God that plays hide and seek. He's not a God that tries to keep himself hidden from us. He's a God that calls to us, that desires for us to walk in relationship with him every day. I've shared this before. I share it many times with individuals. From the time I was probably 5 or 6 years old, my favorite Bible character was Enoch. And it's a man you read very little about. A man that lived at the time prior to the flood when people were living to be 600, 700, 800, 900 years old. And Enoch's life was somewhere around 300 and some years, but it says that he walked with God. And one day he was not, because he walked with God. And in other words, he walked with God on earth and he just kept walking with God throughout the spirit realm and was no longer found on earth because he was with God. I think, wow. I believe for the Christian that describes the death experience that we encounter It doesn't look like that to our loved ones. I grant you that. We still see the body left behind. But in fact, they have walked with God and they continue to walk with God. And we make this observation when we're lost, when we realize God is not as distant as we thought he was. It's simply a matter of calling out and recognizing that when I was walking with him, I had greater peace. When I was walking with him, I had what I needed. I didn't have everything I wanted. That's why I left. That's why I wandered. That's why I strayed. But this son realized that when he became healed of his senses and he could look accurately, he could see and observe that there was a way home. How many times do we find ourselves lost and we give up? And we say, there's no way out of this. We live in a time, especially among young people, where suicide rates are skyrocketing. And a big part of that is that they find themselves lost and they are convinced by the enemy that there is no way out. And our job as God's children, our job as Christians, ought to be able to carry this message of hope to people everywhere. That there is healing, that there is an observation of a real and present God that loves you. There is a way home. And so we find hope when we're lost, when we find healing, when we find observation. We find hope when we're lost, when we find position. Verse 19, as this son continues talking, he says, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he's practicing this speech his whole way home. David, the psalmist, writes and he says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell anywhere else in the world. And we find hope when we're lost, when we recognize that any place with God is better than any place without God. The humility of this son to recognize that I've sinned so greatly that I don't deserve what I once had, but I'm willing to accept whatever's given, whatever's offered, whatever position is available. We'll talk in just a moment about what position that is. But we find hope when we realize the goodness of God in granting us favor with him, in drawing us into position of family. You see, when we're lost, and it doesn't matter whether it's a separation from God or just a wandering in life, uncertain of why we're living, God says, you have value. You have purpose. I've created you in order that you would do good works that I created in advance for you to do. There's something that God has for everyone that's in this room, for everyone that's listening to these words. Your position within the kingdom of God is not insignificant. You are a valuable member of his family, which means you are a valuable member of this family. And we find hope when we're lost, when we understand that we are in a position of being God's child. As Scripture would say, as being joint heirs with Jesus. Now, I know that there are a lot of families that go through fights and squabbles and wars and everything else over the disposition of inheritance. And who gets what? Who deserves what? How much this son gets, how much that daughter gets. And in our human nature, we battle those things out in ways that we probably shouldn't. And here God comes along and says, guess what? When you're in Christ, you are a joint heir with Jesus. Not because you deserve it, not because you've earned it, not because you're worthy of it, but because I, God, have declared it. And we have this position that is ours in Christ. We've been talking for the last 30-some weeks in our Sunday school class about our identity in Christ and who God says that we are. And I can guarantee you that when you go out into this world, it's going to give you a different definition of who it thinks you are than what God does. And we find hope when we're lost, when we find the position of belonging within God's family. When God called a people to himself, he says, once you were aliens, once you were strangers, once you were wanderers with no place to call home, and yet I called you to myself as ones who were loved. And while God stated that about Abraham and about the people that would descend from Abraham, the application for us today as Christians is those that have been called through the blood of Jesus to live as God's family. So we have hope when we're lost because we have position with God, not because we deserve it, not because we earn it, but because he loves us. And that brings us to that final part of the hope we have when we're lost. We have an embrace when we're lost. The son had been practicing all along. I'm going to go home. I'm going to admit that I'm a failure. I'm going to admit that I deserve nothing. I'm going to beg and crawl and grovel and do whatever I can just to be a servant. Just to get the scraps from my father's table. Just to be able to have some access to the leftovers. So in verse 20, the son got up and went to his father. But while he, that is the son, was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the wording, if you go back to the active nature of that, is not just simply a peck on the cheek. But it's this continual kissing and hugging and embracing and welcoming. We find hope when we're lost, when we feel the embrace of Christ and the embrace of one another. This son was willing to admit that he had sinned. We talk about those that are lost, that are outside of Christ, and that we come into Christ as Delaney did last week with this admittance, this repentance, saying, God, I have sinned against you. I want to turn and live in a completely different direction. I need your help. I need your sin, your blood of Jesus to cleanse me of all of my sins. And so that's a part of this embrace, is we're saying, God, I don't deserve any of this, but I know that you love me. And because of your love, I want to live a different life. And this son had come to that point when he came to that point of healing, that point of observation, that point of position, that I just want to be back with the people that loved me. And I've been wrong. And when we're lost and we're lost away from God, that's our cry. God, I've been wrong and I just want to be back with you. And God's desire is to embrace us. He says that when we are immersed into Christ, when we are buried with Christ, that we die to self so that we can rise to live a new life. A life that is clothed with Christ. We're no longer wearing the dirty old rags that we started life in. but we're embraced by the one who spoke us into existence, who created us, who knit us together in our mother's womb. You see, there is hope when we're lost. And there are many people that have lived life pursuing Jesus and have gotten lost. There are many people that have never come to know Jesus and are living lost. But for every one of us, there's hope. Because God's love, the Bible says that love overcomes a multitude of sins. That's true in our relationships with one another, but we know it's true because God has shown us that by His love, which overcomes a multitude of our sin. That's the example. That's why it works among brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not because we're so good at it. It's because God is so good at it. And so this morning, as we come to a time of decision, the question is, not do you feel lost, but what will you do when you're lost? As I've said, if you're here today or if you're listening online and you've never come to Jesus, you're lost in a state of separation from God and you've never responded to Him, your first step is to find that healing where God's Spirit brings you to your senses and you say, Father, I have sinned and I need to come home. If you've never been immersed into Christ, you've not had your sins forgiven, you've not been filled with His Spirit, that's the starting point. And if that describes you, I would love to talk with you about that further. And if you're here today and want to discuss that in a moment, we'll have a decision song and you can meet me in the room over here to my left and we can talk about that and pray about that. But as I say, most every week, most of the time when people gather to worship God, it's because, well, we want to worship God. We've surrendered to Him. We belong to Him. We're His children. And yet we live life on this earth and life gets difficult. And by Wednesday morning, maybe by Sunday night, we feel lost. Something has pressed in on us, around us, against us, and we feel all alone. We feel we don't matter to anyone. We feel sin has overtaken us. We feel tired. And the decision for each of us this morning is, will I live with the hope, the healing, the observation, the position, the embrace that God desires to give me? But not only for me. You see, all of that was things that God did and that God does. But it's also all things that God expects you and I to do for one another as we live as His children. We help one another heal. We help one another observe clearly. We help one another know the position, the value that they have as God's child. We help one another feel and know the embrace, not just of a loving God, but of a loving family. And for many here this morning, we've known the embrace of God, but we've been hesitant to embrace one another. And God's desire is that we would know, not just know and experience, but that we would know and share hope when we're lost. If you have a decision that you need to make this morning, I pray that you make it. If you need to talk with someone about that decision, to pray with someone about that, you're welcome to come in just a moment as we stand and you can meet me over here and we can talk about this further. But I pray that whatever decision God is prompting you to make, that you make before you leave today. and then that you live it each moment that God gives you. Would you stand as we sing?